Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema Full Year 2016 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. I'm here with Margherita Mappelli and Carlo Di Piero. As usually, we have a presentation that I'm going to use to take you through the full year result of the bank. This year, for the first time, we include also Beta Stepstone in the contribution from the 1st of July until the end of last year. And we can anticipate that the net income contribution of Beta Stepstone has been 1.3 million. So going through the snapshot on the number, the net income is up 11% on a year-to-year basis, which has reached 26.4 million, excluding, as we did also in the past, the non-recurring item. In particular, we exclude from this number 1.3 million of gross for the extraordinary contribution to the National Resolution Fund, which was 1.9 million last year, and 0.3 million of integration cost coming from Beta Stepstone merger. 71 million net interest income is up 22% on a year-on-year basis, which include also the late payment interest contribution and Beta contribution, which has been higher than expected, and also lower cost of funding and higher contribution of the CQS and CQP. The total operating cost is in line with the expectation, as I said, excluding the contribution to the national, the extraordinary part of the National Resolution Fund and Beta integration cost. The loan loss provision impacted mainly by extraordinary provision on the SME portfolio and a specific position on factoring, which has been classified as unlikely to pay. 25% is the adjusted return on average equity, and we are going to propose at the next board, which is going to be held on the 8th of March, a distribution of dividend of 0.076. Last year was 0.073. The full year factoring turnover ended up at with an increase of 3%, which was a bit disappointed due mainly to the month of December and in particular in the last part of the month. On the positive side, the factoring customer has increased of 15% in terms of number of customers, with more than 300 clients, where we expect a stronger focus, in particular in the next year, on these medium-sized new customer. The CQS outstanding has reached 266 million, with an increase of 121% on a year-on-year basis, with the strong growth of the new lending in the last quarter of the year. In the second half of last year, we also have signed a partnership with Axactor for the NPL market through the partial sale of our stake in CS Union with the gain of 2.3 million. And going to the financial side, the LCR has been higher than 145%. The net stable fund is well above the regulatory requirement, and the leverage is 5.6 times. The retail funding represents 51% of total fund, with a stable cost on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And the retail component is slightly higher than the third quarter of last year, at the end of last year. We have not sold the CQS securitization that at the end of February 2017 will reach an outstanding value of about 220 million. The core tier 1 and the total capital ratio are respectively 13.3% and 15.8%. Moving to the next slide, as I mentioned before, our growth rate in terms of turnover has been 3%, 4% including Baton, and has been impacted by the last month, in particular on the last week of December. While last year we had some big portfolio that has been purchased, this year we had the expectation to buy also large portfolio, but at the end of the year, the customer decided to postpone the sale. They didn't sell to anybody and simply they hold their position for this coming year. The market environment in general, we did not see changes. Delay of payment has also been reported in the national press, didn't change. DSO monitored by the association also did not register the specific changing. The important aspect on that front is that the agreement of distribution with retail bank has contributed for 13.5% of the turnover, while last year was 5%. Moving to the next slide, we have reached a good level of business diversification with 26% of total loan to customer represented by CQS and CQP and also for a small part of SME. As I said before, we have not sold the securitization and we have reached an outstanding of the total CQS of 266 million. And out of this number, 220 million will be moving to the securitization that we expect to sell on the first half, by the first half of this year. The SME loan is pretty much stable also on a quarter by quarter basis, but because of the new criteria for the guarantee, we have we will change and we have decided to stop lending to SME through the state guarantee loan. And this will allow us to redeploy the resource dedicated to SME lending to business where we see, on the other hand, more potential for growth as CQS and CQP. Also thanks to new strategic agreement that we are in an advanced stage of discussion with a few new major new originator. Now let me leave the floor to Margherita that is going to take you through on more detail to the numbers.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone. As mentioned by Gianluca, we are closing 2016 with an adjusted net income of 26.4 million. We have adjusted, we have normalized the income, excluding the extraordinary contribution paid to the National Resolution Fund for 1.3 million gross, and for the integration cost related to Beta for 0.3 million gross. In total, the adjustment has been 1.1 million net, which brings to a net reported income of 25.3 million. Adjusted net income include the contribution deriving from Beta, which is for the 6 months from July to the end of December, 1.3 million net. And as mentioned, the Beta is being consolidated in Banca Sistema Group starting from July 1st, 2016. Going more in detail into the income statement, factoring business continue to be the main contributor to our net interest income and represents 86% of total net interest income. Net interest income, which is 71 million, includes 11.3 million of late payment interest on public administration accrued on the legally actioned part of our portfolio. As you may recall, we moved from a cash accounting to an accrual accounting on LPIs in the second quarter of 2016. Out of the 11.3 million, 5.7 are related to prior periods and not to 2016. In Q4, based on our backtesting results and thanks to the solid historical legal collection records which we have acquired together with Beta StepStone, we have updated our LPI's collection statistical model. This was done also in light of the newly issued regulatory guidelines, the Documento Congiunto of Bank of Italy, Consob, and IVASS, which was published in November 2016. As a result of this exercise, we have increased from 15% up to 65% the expected collection percentage on healthcare action receivables. Net interest income growth is driven also by a significant reduction on the cost of funding side, which comes as a consequence of lower market rates, of the continued diversification of our funding sources, and decreased retail funding cost. Year on year, we are also reporting a higher contribution from our CQS business and from factoring VAT receivable and from SME loans. Beta StepStone contributed to the net interest income for the second quarter for 2.6 million. We also note a lower contribution from our short-term government bond portfolio, which is down 55%. On looking at loan loss provision, these are increasing mainly as a consequence of the SME portfolio increased provisioning that we took in Q4 on deteriorated loans and due to a specific factoring position. On personal expense, the increases just reflecting the headcount growth year on year as well as the inclusion of Beta. Other expenses include fees for M&A advisory and the CQS securitization, compensated by lower servicing expenses. Net income for 2016 also includes the gain which we realized from the sale of our 15% stake of Fierce Union to Exactor for a net P&L impact of 2.3 million. Stated net income, as mentioned, is 5.3 million, which is up 44% compared to the net stated income in 2015, which net of the IPO cost was 17.6 million. Moving to slide number 6 and looking more closely at the balance sheet. As you can see, total assets stand at 2 billion at the end of 2016, which is down from 2.4, which have been reported at the end of 2015. The reduction is essentially driven by our decision to downside in the second quarter our position on Italian government bonds, which was equal to 900 million at the end of 2015 and was reduced down to approximately half, 0.5 billion, due to the Brexit uncertainty and the consequent market environment. The average duration of our available for sale government bond portfolio remains pretty low, approximately 7 months. Including Beta assets, our factoring receivable amounts to 986 million, down year on year, mainly as a consequence of the lower turnover which we have recorded in the last quarter, as previously mentioned, as well as higher collection. CQS balance increase due to the strong loan purchases supported by the funding coming from the securitization. Tangible assets are increasing because of the building which was purchased by the bank, which will become the new headquarters for the bank in 2018. Due to banks, increase year on year and quarter on quarter, and this is mainly coming from the ECB increased funding. Due to customers, is lower year on year, mainly for the reduction of the repo funding related to the decrease of the Italian government bond position. Moving to slide number 7 and looking at the factoring business more in detail, on the top right of the slide we show the evolution of our factoring outstanding, which is influenced by the quarterly turnover seasonality, with December purchases being lower than expected, as previously mentioned. And as you can notice, the portion of our outstanding in legal collection reaches 25% from 22% at the end of September and from 18% at the end of 2015. Target yields at expected collection date, which are shown on the bottom right of the slide, do not show a specific trend during 2016. September and December lower levels reflect a combination of portfolio mix and increased competition, especially over the quarter end days. On the lower left of the slide, we show the trend of our factoring average gross yield, which was recasted with the LPI accrued as previously described. As usual, in gross yield, we include both interest income and commission as well. Average gross yield remains pretty stable for a good part of the year. The year-on-year decrease in gross yield is approximately 240 basis points or 220 if you include beta. And this has been compensated partially by the lower cost of funding, which is down 80%, 80 basis points, and by lower costs from approximately 20 basis points, with a margin decrease year-on-year around 140 or 120 basis points, depending whether we include the beta component. Moving to slide number 8. As you can see, our operating costs are up 10% year on year. This is again excluding the contribution to the National Resolution Fund and the beta integration cost. Other costs include new initiatives for approximately 2.2 million, of which 1.3 relate to securitizations and 0.9 to advisory fees for M&A transactions, including beta acquisition. Personal expense represent 41% of total operating cost, increases from 13.1 million in 2015 to 15.2 in 2016. Of that, beta is 0.6 million for the second half of 2016. Total headcount from 130 headcount at the end of 2015 up to 144 at the end of December 16. Servicing cost represent 12% of total operating cost. In 2015, those were 22% of total operating cost. As mentioned in the past, those are fully variable costs and are decreasing year on year thanks to lower unit costs. Most of the synergies on the cost side deriving from beta integration will be coming through in 2017 following the merger of the beta legal entity into the bank. On slide number 9, and looking at the funding, retail funding represents 51% of total funds against 42% at the end of 2015. Retail funding cover 61% of the core business assets, pretty much in line with Q3 and down from 71% in 2015. The increase in retail funds in the third quarter of 2016 is driven by term deposits and current account. Back in October, we have increased offer rates on term deposits in order to maintain stable the stock of time deposits. Term deposits deriving from German and Austrian clients equal 27% of the total. Average residual duration of term deposits has increased up to 20 months, and average cost is equal to 2%, remaining pretty stable quarter on quarter and being down from 3% reported in 2015. As shown on the top right of the slide, thanks to the funding diversification, the core business funding is down approximately 80 basis points year on year. It's also worth mentioning that in Q4, the ABS notes from the CQS securitizations were rated by Moody's and DBRS and consequently listed on the London Stock Exchange. Since November 2016, the senior note is being used as collateral for a Eurosystem refinancing operation. Moving on to the next slide, which is slide number 10. Net bad loans represent 1.7% of total loans at the end of 2016. This is excluding repo. Same number was 1.1% in 2015. Unlikely to pay increased quarter on quarter and past due decreased quarter on quarter are both due to the factoring segment. Unlikely to pay increase year on year is due to factoring, in particular to a specific factoring position, Bad loan increase year-on-year is due to deterioration of SME state-guaranteed loans. Q4 2016 loan loss provision has been influenced, as mentioned, by increased coverage of the SME bad loans, which was brought up to 100% from the 20% on the 20% exposure not granted by the Fondo Garanzia del Ministero dello Sviluppo Economico, and increased coverage for a specific factoring position which was already classified as unlikely to pay. Cost of risk runs at 74 basis points and increased is mainly driven by SME portfolio increased provisioning. Moving to the regulatory capital, which is line number 11, Common Equity Tier 1 and Total Capital Ratio at the end of December, including beta, are respectively 13.3% and 15.8%, both growing compared to the end of September. As expected, the operational risk is up to 130 million in the last quarter, reflecting the increase of the average total income of the last 3 years. RWA reduction quarter on quarter comes from lower past due stock and as well as a different mix within the factoring portfolio. RWA increase year on year is mainly coming from the growth on our CQS business. I think this is pretty much what I wanted to cover, so I'll leave the floor back to Gianluca.
Okay, so thank you, Marionita. My only closing few remarks. So when you look back in the last 5 years, I'm proud to see that our growth has been compounded of 88%. This year also we have put forward a proposal to distribute the dividend that increase due to also the increase of the profitability. We will remain a leading player on the Italian public administration, on the factoring, and we will continue to see opportunity in the core business, but also in other ancillary business like the CQS, where we see strong demand, even more potential growth. So that's all from my side. If you'd like to ask question, please do.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Luigi Tramontana, Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation and well done for the results. First question is on the turnover. Of course, the lower turnover in Q4 has helped you on the capital, but leaves some open questions regarding your growth in 2017. So could you please give us a guidance regarding the evolution you expect this year, given that your capital position is stronger than expected at the end of 2016? Second question is on the one-off impact regarding the loan impairments related to the decision to increase to 100% the coverage of the 20% unsecured SME bad loans. In absolute terms, how much is it in million euros? And as well, the one specific factoring position, how much is it, so that we can maybe forecast an adequate cost of risk for 2017. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for your question. Well, let's start with the turnover. On one end, the reduction of turnover certainly had allow us to have higher our capital total capital ratio and tier one. At the same time, we were also able to hold the sale of the securitization, which was something that we had considered in the last part of the year, but after the referendum, we didn't see probably the right time to sell it because this would not have generated enough profitability based on our view. So with the going to the 2017, we expect now to sell this securitization in the market, which is going to free up capital. The CQS is a good product, of course, as a capital absorption that is much higher than our core business. So the sale of the securitization will give us a space for growth in our core business as well as in the other ancillary business that we have in the market. One observation on the CQS securitization, while after the Italian referendum, the spread that we have seen in the market in terms of bid offer were very wide for this type of product, the average price that we observe on the secondary market on existing securitization on the CQS did not move substantially. So for this reason, we also decided to hold, to wait for the market a little bit to calm down and be in a better position, and in the meantime to continue to benefit from the possibility of having the ECB funding at 0% using as a collateral the securitization. In terms of turnover, I think that clearly turnover is one of the drivers. Then the other driver is the mix and the quality of the asset we buy. The amount of tax receivable has been increased very significantly. The tax receivable has an average duration that is almost twice the average duration of the other receivable. So we need to generate less turnover for the same period of time in order to generate the same profitability or even higher, and have also a consumption of capital that is equal to zero. The other point is we started the last week of 2016 that we had still a pipeline of about 400-500 million, and the large corporate that we had this potential transaction simply decided not to sell to anybody because they end up with their own net financial position that was probably well above their own expectation. As you know, most of our clients sell the receivable due to a target a certain net financial position. Usually those transactions are quite important in terms of size, less in terms of profitability, because these large tickets, of course, are not priced at the same level of medium-size ticket. Facing on this on the first part of this year, we continue to see some growth compared to last year, and we also are seeing that also due to some turbulence, probably the willingness to sell receivable will not be only driven by target net financial position of corporate, but maybe also driven by an increased perception or real risk that investor, in particular international players, see on the country. In terms of your second question about the loan loss provision, we had in the last quarter we had also visit from regulators, and at the end we had posted a very conservative loan loss provision, because we end up to put in any loan to SME for the portion that is not covered by the fund a provision of 100%, i.e. regardless the guarantee, regardless whether the company are still alive or not, we have put a coverage of 100%, which is, I would say, potentially a bit conservative, but also in light of the fact that for us this is an ancillary business, there was no point to question So we took that as a position. The amount for that is 2.8 million of 100% coverage of this SME. While the single position we mentioned on the factoring that was unlikely to pay is about 3.4 million. So this also is a one-off item on a specific transaction through a consortium.
The next question is from Julian Roberts, Edison. Please go ahead. Sorry, the next question is from Connie Deng, Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. One of my questions has already been answered. I have about three questions, if I may. First one, so the corporates who pulled the sale of their portfolios without warning, do you think that might come later into Q1 or Q2? But you know, at the same time, it seems reassuring that they're not going to someone else to factor, that they just decided that they didn't need the service anymore. However, I'm worried that do you think this is the start of a trend? The second question is on my favorite chart on page 7, the funding period versus target yield. Why in December did the days expected collection date go up, but the yield actually go down significantly? Is it to do with the size of the portfolio or the expectation of late payment interest? If you could give me a bit more color on that, please, that would be helpful. And then on the decision to not invest in SMEs anymore, could you give us a bit more color onto the rationale? And sorry, fourth question, if I may, an update on your outlook for the medium-term cost-to-income ratio, please.
Okay, so thank you for your question. About the corporate that decide not to sell, let me start with a more macroeconomic view. When you are in a period of a negative interest rate and large corporate are benefiting directly from negative interest rate, the value of improving net financial position is indeed negative. You know, is as more you sell, as worse it is because they have a negative interest rate. As you see, even in the last few days, the volatility and the spread of and the country risk is increasing. This is moving also new signal from the external world are pushing towards a change of the trend. And in the new environment, the value of improving net financial position will be reconsidered. So for those corporate, which typically they sell asset across term result, we do not rule out the fact that they may decide to sell by the end of the first quarter on the first half of the year. For the time being, they kept their asset in their book, and they didn't sell because clearly the value, the cost to improve their net financial position was probably too high versus the benefit. But if you look around, I think that there is an ongoing increase of risk of Europe in general, in Italy in particular. So I expect that those large tickets and those decisions will come back to the market. In the meantime, we continue to have our growth base revolving position coming from those other clients that sell assets also because they need funding, they need to outsource collection, and those people keep selling, and the fact that we are increasing the number of these people will be very positive. Also, in view of the concentration, we have reduced dramatically the concentration versus a single client in the last period. On the page 7, consider that these numbers do not include the LPIs. Therefore, buying a portfolio at an expected yield which is lower doesn't necessarily mean that the effective yield will be at that level, because that may simply mean that for a bigger portion of the portfolio we may have to take legal action and we will be able to collect the LPIs, which is a good contribution. One thing that has not been mentioned but probably is included in our press release is that we were also able to sell a portfolio of only LPIs. So we sold about 5 million on LPIs of receivable that were already in legal action at the final stage. So potentially this is a clear message that there is also a market for the LPIs standalone.
On the 5 million of LPI or 5 billion of turnover?
No, 5 million of LPIs.
Is already...
accrued LPIs.
Yes, has already been decided by the courts but not collected yet, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
We're at the stage where it may have taken another maybe year or so to collect or to settle. And we sold these 5 million at the price of 80%.
Great.
Okay, so yep. This is, as you consider that we have more than 140 million of LPIs underneath of our balance sheet, which are not in the balance sheet, this gives you maybe a bit of a sense of what can be our buffer of that we can use when it's needed on our receivable. In terms of SME, it's very simple. Beside the fact that SME is quite interesting business because there is 80% guaranteed by the government, is also a quite time-consuming asset. And last year the government has announced that they are going to change the amount of the guarantee. So the guarantee that the government is going to put forward is going to be reduced for the better company from 80% to 40%. With this condition, we don't see this business profitable anymore. So with 80% government guarantee is a good business with good return, low risk. With 40% government guarantee, no interest from our perspective. So in light of this decision of the government that is going to be formalized in the next few weeks, we anticipate, as we also have several opportunities on the CQS, to redirect our resource into a business where we see growth and stop to invest in this business, which, again, I do not regret anything. It was an opportunistic ancillary initiative, as we in the future we will consider always opportunistic initiative, and when there are, we will take it. When we see that those opportunity will go, we will go as well. We are not married to decision when we don't see profitability.
The income.
Yeah, the cost, Margherita.
Yeah, on the cost income side, I think what we can say is that what we are targeting is basically the current expectations from analysts. We're pretty much aligned with those expectations in terms of targets for next year.
You're breaking up a bit there. Could you repeat it, please, Margherita? Sorry.
What I'm saying is that what we are targeting from next year in terms of cost income is a further improvement compared to this year, pretty much in line with the current expectations from the market.
Do you have like
right now 45%, so we don't expect to go down to 40, but to be somewhere in the middle.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Julian Roberts, Edison. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. It's Andrew Mitchell, actually. A couple of questions. On the factoring business, I think on one of the charts you referred to the end period yield shown as being a bit lower as one of the factors of competition. Just wondered if in a more general sense there had been any ratcheting up of the level of competition. Then on StepStone, that came in better than expected in the period, obviously a very short period. But I was just wondering if there was any exceptional element within that which we should sort of try and discount. And finally, I was wondering whether, I think previously you talked about looking to diversify the business. I was wondering, following the wind down of exposure to SME, whether you had any initial thoughts on areas where you might divert money in addition to expanding on CQS.
Okay, so in terms of competition, as probably has always been the case, there is a competition, has always been a competition when you go to look after the one-off large portfolio, less competition when you look at the more evolving recurrent business. I think that what we have tried and in the past we added in our presentation was the expected yield and the funding and the collected date. But this is simply to show that really depending on which portfolio we are buying, you can have a different combination of duration and yield. We have some instance in some period where the duration is longer and the yield is lower. And this could be, for instance, when you have a good quality of obligor, or we have other instances where the duration is lower but the yield is higher. These are probably those assets where at a certain point you need to take legal action, you're only obliged to collect through legal action, and therefore we are not compounded in this number, also the late payment interest that we know that is coming in the future. So there's not really a trend that is driven by competition. Competition has always been there. I think that the major competitor for the large corporate is the simple fact that negative interest rate imply not much willingness to sell or to improve a net financial position by corporate, which was one of the major driver in the past. In 2011, the major driver was the Italian risk. Then the major driver was the improve of net financial position. At the last part of the year, last year, Italian risk was not perceived particularly high, and interest rate being negative, not much pressure of net improving net financial position. If you look at as we started this year, if you look at the 10-year BTP Bund spread that has been above 200 basis points in a matter of 2 weeks, and also driven to the Italian weaknesses, driven to the statement of Le Pen election in France, whatever. This is highlighting a big risk that probably some of the international players will start to factor and will start to sell a receivable just to reduce the risk on the country. One of the also the driver is that it is clear that if inflation will increase, the tapering will start sooner than later, and if ECB will stop to buy Italian government bonds, the spread that they will expect to see in the market probably is going to be quickly is going to quickly wider even twice of what is the case today. All that will recreate the condition where company would like to sell because they see the risk of Italy or because they see the value of improving that financial position. In terms of beta stepstone, there was no major event. Was simply the LPIs has been collected more than expected, but I would say was also a good negotiation from our side and the merger speeding up of the situation. Now beta is fully integrated. We don't have people that are from beta or from Banca Sistema. We have people that are all in Banca Sistema within the team integrated, and I think that is a good boost to the people. We also found good quality of the people that clearly did not come up when we made the pure due diligence on the numbers because we did not have the opportunity to meet the people at the time. In terms of diversification, one clear area is the CQS. CQS is a personal loan collateralized by pension and salaries. 85% is public sector, because if it's pension, it's the national pension system that pay. If it's private, the majority of the people are people that are employed by public authorities, and the other that are private on private, we are talking about large multinational companies, which are the only one that we accept. So there is a great potential on that business. There are also potential that may come not only through agreement, but also through potential acquisition on this area, where in some cases we are in advanced stage, also because there's been some change in the regulation that oblige some of these originators to consider whether to apply for the new regulatory framework or simply to consider to be acquired by somebody that is regulated like us. So this is a clear area. There are other ideas that of course that are at the very early stage that we are also looking in the banking where clearly we may see in the future some area of investment, but I think that is too early at this stage to consider those area that we are looking as a clear something that is substantial to be considered in the budget. So, but there are opportunities. I think that the Italian market and also outside of Italy, there may be some opportunity in some of the area. But CQS is a priority for us, so we will devote resources to the CQS.
Great, thanks very much.
The next question is from Christian Carrese, Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, yes. Good afternoon, everybody. I have a few questions on my side. The first one is on Beta Stepstone. You bought this company last year. I think that the company had some capital constraints, so it was not able to increase the turnover. Now that it has been merged, with Sistema. Do you expect beta to increase turnover in 2017? And also in terms of mix, I see that the exposure to the obligor local healthcare organization went from 13% to 15% from 2015 to 2016. Do you expect to this sector to be a higher contributor to turnover or to factoring outstanding for next year? Because we see that the late payment interest, the way you account late payment interest in this segment is higher than the rest of the portfolio. So I was wondering if you expect still a quite important contribution of late payment interest in 2017 compared to 2016. And I missed your answer on the 5 million late payment interest that you sold. If you can repeat, at what price did you sell those late payment interest? Then the second question is on securitization that you should complete in the first half 2017. What do you expect in terms of capital? I would expect some capital enhancement thanks to this securitization. And do you see any P&L impact? The first question is on NPEs. If you can elaborate on the overall coverage ratio on non-performing loans, sofferenze, and unlikely to pay category. And finally, I understand it is difficult at this stage maybe to give a target in terms of turnover for turnover growth for 2017. I was wondering if you are confident to give a target in terms of net income, in the sense to see double-digit growth as this year in terms of net profit for 2017. Thank you.
Okay. So let me put everything in order. Beta. Beta did not have a constraint in capital. I think that the major constraint of beta was the cost of funding. Clearly, we replace their own cost of funding with our own cost of funding that is much higher, lower. That certainly gave them the boost to be more competitive and to improve the activity. So the problem was not really the capital, but was the cost of funding that, thanks to us, has been reduced. In terms of accrual of LPIs, on the healthcare, beta was accruing the LPIs at 80%, and we have, on one end, we have reduced their accrual from 80 to 75, and we increase our own accrual of 75. Sixty-five. Bear in mind that we consolidate the procedure, and so we only take LPIs on accrual when we are at legal action, and we confirm that only 10% on average of the receivable we buy are in legal action. So when you look at the 65% and consider that it's only 10% that goes to legal action, if you like to compare with other players, you should compare our number, like 6.5%, compared to other players on the same asset class that they accrued from 20 to 40%. So we still are in a very conservative base. On the sales, we have received on the healthcare in particular from a international investor through an existing securitization. We had received an offer to purchase the LPIs only, which has been accrued in asset that were at the final stage of the legal process, and they made to us an offer to buy at 80% towards face value. So basically, the nominal amount that has been sold in terms of LPIs was 5 million, the price was 4 million, and we only sold the LPIs that had been accrued until the date of the sale, which was November. Any LPIs that continue to accrue even afterward is not been part of the transaction, so will come, will stay with us on the same receivable. I think that that was an important test also from our perspective. And by the way, due to the fact that those buyers, they were able to, they had other receivable of the same kind towards the same type of obligor, they were able to combine the procedure of collection, and some of those LPIs has been already been collected by them, because they had on the same obligor, they also had they were at even more an advanced stage compared to us, and if you are able to see the position and you can put together the position and collect faster. So it was an opportunity. I don't know if this is going to be repeated in the future. This is not something that we consider necessary also for the future, but we see that there are interest, including interest on LPIs on local authorities. So this was on healthcare, but there may be interest also on the LPIs on local authorities.
Excuse me, on this point, out of the 104 million euro late payment interest accrued up to the end of 2016, is it correct?
100?
No, in 2016 we have accrued, we have accrued 11.3 million of...
No,
of,
sorry, the off-balance sheet is 100
okay,
million.
Okay. Off-balance sheet is 100,
yes.
Yes,
the 100 million. Out of this 100 million, is it correct to expect something a little bit more than 10 million euro to go through the P&L in 2017?
Well, probably yes, because if we consider the growth from the past, the average 10% of the growth that goes to legal action, you can imagine that this will be a throughout of LPIs, either accrued or even collected. Yes, I think that's because if we continue to grow, every time that we grow, we have a stratification of previous years of legal action, clearly this will boost a little bit the at least in line with the growth of the receivable from the past.
Clear.
Okay?
Okay.
Securitization, indeed, we will expect to generate P&L. The reason why we didn't sell last year is because the price we have received informally did not allow us to generate what we consider enough P&L. So yes, we will we expect to generate P&L. How much? We don't know. We intend to go through a public procedure, so a public tender. This is our intention, and we will see the market.
And we are monitoring, of course, I mean, the current plan based also on our expectation of business growth are to go through the a process of sale of the securitization for capital reasons. Of course, we are monitoring the situation closely because for the moment we are getting the funds from the ECB. So depending on the volumes and the turnover of the core business as well, we will make the decision. But the current expectation is to sell the securitization in the first quarter 2017 with the P&L.
And in terms of capital, when we will sell the securitization, we will have a one-off effect of relief of capital, clearly. At the same time, we are also building same type of asset class, and we are going to open a new securitization in the course of the year. So you may see going forward some movement, one in terms of capital positive because we are selling the securitization, and then on a month-by-month basis the new assets of same kind that are going to be purchased by us, so they are fresh receivables ready to be posted in the new securitization. The two things are not happening at the same time because the one-off sale of 200 million, 220 million will have an immediate impact. Consider the average RWA that is quite higher. The monthly purchase it will take some time before reaching again an amount of 200 million. In terms of coverage ratio on SME that I mentioned, as I said, we have been visited by a regulator and as nothing has been else has been considered, they have asked to consider, and we did consider it, a 100% coverage on the 20% of all the SME loans that we decide to resolve, regardless the existence of guarantees, personal guarantee, or regardless to the fact that the company are still alive. Our previous position was to devaluate 100% only for those SME that are defaulted, so there are the one that are in the default. Now we took 100% on any loan that we terminate, regardless the status of the obligor.
Sure. This was clear to me. Now, okay. I was wondering the overall portfolio, the overall sofferenze, what is the coverage ratio, and not just on the SMEs segment. So NPS coverage ratio and unlikely to pay coverage ratio for the group.
So the coverage ratio for all the businesses of the bank in total is 13.3%. For NPL only is 35%.
The first one was 1.3. Sorry, I didn't get.
1.3. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Target, as you know, we don't. We are not so keen to give a target to create expectation. Margherita,
we're not disclosing the targets for next year. Of course, what we can say, I think, is that in line with what we have seen in the second half of this year, we expect further growth on the CQS business, which is, of course, expected to contribute further in 2017. And, of course, the other components which will deploy more contribution compared to 2016 will be late payment interest from those we definitely expect additional contribution coming through in the net interest income, both on collected LPIs. Of course, the expectation are to collect a higher amount of LPIs next year as we go through the legal processes, as well as, of course, the more the business increases and more of our portfolio will go through legal actions, and so the accrual is going to increase as well. So we expect more contribution from LPIs compared to the past. On a recurring basis. Of course, this year we do also have the one-off impact of the first-time adoption of the accrual accounting.
If I may, just a final question on 2017. Is there any one-off for the new headquarter to be booked in 2017?
Wouldn't say one-off.
No.
Restructuring cost.
No, because I think that we will be able to amortize most of the cost of restructuring.
Okay, clear.
And we see when we start to move into the office in 2018, we start to see positive effect because clearly today we are paying a rent, but more than anything we are wasting the VAT. Which for us is an undeductible cost. So in the new building, we don't have the VAT and the cost of funding is our average cost of funding. So we see in this year we do not expect any one-off cost for the building, and when we start to move in the next year in phases, we will probably start to see some positive cost reduction.
Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Luigi Tramontana, Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for all the answers. Some additional questions on my side. The first one is on the approximately 80 million SME guaranteed loans. What's the maturity of this portfolio, just to understand the time for the phase-out? Second question is on the cost of risk once again. In your press release, you say that you are completing an exercise on a model to assess the bad loans, factoring receivables from PA debtors, and preliminary results show that recoverability rate may be higher than expected. Should I understand that in the future you may book some write-backs on the provisions you made in the past? And on capital, as far as I remember, regarding the deconsolidation of the CQS securitization, I remember that you may have a very important benefit in terms of capital. Can you tell us how much it will be? Because I remember 100 million euros, but maybe that's too high. Finally, I do not really understand what is the interest for you of selling those LPIs at 4 million, at price of 4 million for 5 million LPIs. Should I understand that the carrying value for you will be higher? Thank you.
Okay. So in terms of SME, the average duration is 4.2 years. The average duration of the overall portfolio. So we will continue to manage our position, and we don't even rule out that if some of maybe local banks would like to buy the portfolio, we are not married to this portfolio. So for the time being, we will continue to manage on the runoff for the 4.2 years. So we will no longer have the origination on one end, which is where I can reallocate resources. And on the other side, we will continue to have the team that manage the existing outstanding, which is about 270 position, if I remember well. The selling of LPIs, and then we'll go back to maybe the other two questions. Very difficult to explain in English because it's an Italian situation. But if any company or financial intermediary is at the stage where they found money within the obligor, that those money they were able to pledge it to seize, in English I think that is the right word, to seize the money, let's suppose that I have a credit vis-a-vis one obligor of 10 million and I'm able to see that I'm able to seize 20 million. If I buy other receivable, I can immediately combine the procedure in one procedure and use the same money that I have already found into an account or wherever and get the payment immediately. So the interest from our perspective was to speed up. That was a win-win situation because while we were at the final stage of the receivable, final stage means that those receivables were not be questioned, they could not be questioned, but we were still in a situation where we had to look for the so-called pignoramento. So we still have to look for where those ASL has the money and to block those money in order to get collected. This is a process that may go on for 1 year, 2 years, because you have to continue to try to see whether they have money into the account, and only when you find the money, you're able then to cash those money in. If somebody else already have found the money and the size of the money that they found is exceeding their credit, clearly they have an interest to buy upfront to pay the cost because they're able to collect faster. And for us, the NPV value is significant because we don't have to spend the legal cost. We anticipate the collection of 18 months, 1 year on that front. So that was the case. So we were talking about 5 million of nominal, but in terms of legal action, we were talking about probably 13 legal actions. So a very small amount of specific legal action in the southern part of Italy of healthcare receivable, where the buyer was in this advanced position. So in that case, there was a win-win situation. On the contrary, we may have an interest ourselves if we are sitting into money that has been under the pignoramento to even add on more credit and to collect faster. So in this case there was a sale. In other cases, it can be even a buy of LPIs at the same stage. So that was the interest. And it was a win-win situation from both parties. It came up as an opportunity. It may come in the future, I don't know. We may be also on the buy side rather than on the sell side. In terms of CQS, CQP, the consolidation, I leave to Margherita if you have the number in terms of capital release.
We actually have currently 190 million of bonds from at the end of 2016 from the securitization, of which 148 is the senior note and 19 million is mezzanine and 22 is the junior note. The considerations, of course, in terms of capital release that we are making, and we haven't yet made a decision as to whether we are going to sell entirely the senior note or to retain a portion of it. So depending on the transaction that we are going to make, of course, we have different size of capital relief. Of course, given this is the size of the securitization, the impact can be up to the amount of the release of the entire amount, or to a lower extent. Of course, we should keep the retention component of the 5%, but we can have of course a significant release if we go and sell the entire notes.
In terms of capital consumption, if you consider that you are in the area of the 70% of RWA absorption, and therefore this is the amount 182 is the amount at the end of the year. We will be at 220 million in February.
February, of course,
it's 220 million weighted by, let's say, 70%, that if we sell it all, we'll have an immediate impact that it can be 0.5, 0.6 basis point on the Tier 1. In reverse, if the maths are correct in terms of calculation.
I think we calculated 100 million of relief.
Did we answer to all your questions?
No, the last one was regarding this model for the...
Oh, yes, sorry,
the
non-losses,
right. Yes.
Yes, this is the city that are in the distress situation, so comuni in dissesto. It looks like that we are probably the only bank that is taking a provision on the city that are in distress situation, because typically what happens is that when the city enter into distress, they appoint a commissioner, then these people, they may stay on board for 3 years, they make an offer to all the creditors, you may decide to accept or not the offer. If you don't decide to accept the offer, after a period of an average of 3 years, they close the procedure, and you can then ask to the city the entire amount of nominal plus all the LPIs of ECB plus 8%. So we are not forced to accept all these positions. In the past, what we have done was that when we purchase city that were already in the distress situation when we purchased it, we accepted settlement from the commissioner, because we had purchased in the past those receivable at the face value that was even at 15% face value. We were able to accept a write-off of 40%, because if I buy a 15 and I get 60, I still have a very huge margin. Now, what we have done was that in all the city that has entered into distress, we have continued to look at the average, looking at the past, and to take a provision of 43% on the nominal. This, of course, was based under an average from the past, but was not based on our procedure, because if we buy a receivable that is a good one and then enter into distress, we do not settle. We wait, and then we collect the nominal plus LPIs. So at that point, it's not a question of write-off, but it will be a question of time value rather than write-off. So this is something that can be worth a few million euro. We are still fine-tuning what is the situation. It can. We expect that this new model could be implemented in the first part of this year, which allow us to release these few million of provisioning that looks like that we are the only bank that is taking this provision on Citi. So that is what is that about. So that we didn't do this at the year end for various reasons.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is a follow-up from Connie Deng, Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi there. I was just wondering if you had any factoring turnover growth guidance for full year 17, also the gross yield outlook, and finally, are we supposed to model the SME loans outstanding running off, or it will stay the same? Thank you.
In terms of SME, yes, it's running off for the average duration of 4.2 years. So, yes, so that is it. In terms of guidance, as Margherita mentioned before, as in the past, we do not give guidance of turnover on the factoring. We continue to see great potential. As I mentioned, the turnover is also driven by external factor. It seems that the volatility increase of Italian risk will boost the request. So I don't have much to comment. Maybe Margherita can...
maybe the only thing that we can add to that is that, but of course, we cannot have a precise forecast in terms of total turnover, but what maybe we haven't mentioned is that we expect further growth on tax receivables compared to what we have seen significant growth in 2016, and we expect that business line to go further in 2017.
And by the way, on the tax receivable, you remember that there was this new law that has been implemented back in 2015 that created this problem to all the suppliers to Italian public administration, which is called a split payment. This is a law that clearly has generated further credit tax, VAT credit. The discussion, I understood this morning that there was a request at the European Commission to extend this split payment also to the public sector corporate that are controlled by the public sector. So it seems that the government, as if they are find some leeway to reduce the debt on that front, they are expanding even the application of these split payment rules. If this is going to be confirmed, of course, the tax receivable will further grow. And as I mentioned in the past, it's not only the fact that it's 0% risk weighting, but it's also the fact that they have a higher average duration, that even with the same turnover, a tax credit for our P&L contribution is much better than the commercial credit, because we need to generate less turnover in order to generate the same profit contribution.
Is it more complex though? Is that more effort to collect the tax receivables, isn't it?
It's more what?
It's more complicated.
No. Not really, because a tax credit usually is one tax claim per client. While when we go to the commercial receivable, we may talk about 100 or 1,000 of invoices with 100 of obligors. In case of a tax credit, you are talking about one claim per company, and the number of obligor is central government, but there may be local tax authority, where you may have one for every big city, but you don't have 100 of local tax authorities. So in terms of collection, indeed, is less complicated. There's no, for instance, the issue of reconciliation with the tax credit, while with the commercial credit, there is always the point of reconciliation, wrong payment, there are more operational costs compared to the tax credit.
That's helpful, thanks. And anything to say on the yield outlook, or again depends on market conditions?
But the yield will pretty much depend on market condition, and for us, as you know, the yield is driven by the Italian government yield rather than the Euribor, which is decorrelated to our business. So if we start to see some spikes, as we are seeing in Govis yield, we do expect on one end to price higher the portfolio. On the other hand, we may expect an increase of our cost of funding if we finance ourselves in Italy. Consider that 24% of the term deposit are placed in Germany, and consider that ECB is that where we use the securitization is the only funding that is decorrelated to the country risk. But domestic funding may follow the trend of Italian risk.
Do you have any view on that? How is the sentiment in Italy these days?
I would say that the sentiment is not all in Italy. The sentiment of a very volatile situation is throughout Europe. So you have Brexit, you have Trump, you have the statement being made by Le Pen in the French election, you have a potential change of government in Italy. You have then the election in Germany, which is probably the only positive note, because if Schulz will win against Merkel, Schulz is a more a pan-European supporter, and Schulz, different from Merkel and Schauble, that are totally against the sharing of European debt. Schulz is more in favor of a European debt, but that's the only positive note in a very negative environment overall. The increase of inflation on average in Europe is certainly bringing is bringing forward the tapering, and countries like Italy, if ECB will stop to buy Italian government bonds, will see a huge widening of the cost of funding due to the increase of spread, which is going to affect all the economy in a country where the GDP growth is very low. So this is the environment that we have to live with. All the bad things are not necessarily bad for our business. So they are bad as a taxpayer, because we may see some increase of tax in order to compensate the situation. If I see the movement on the govies market in the last few weeks, is amazing how few information are almost doubling the bid offer spread, the spread on the 10-year BTP bond in the country, with the immediate effect on all banks, because clearly a lot of banks have a huge portfolio of government bonds with a longer duration, which is not our case, for instance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Garbi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.